The Defense Information Systems Agency has set up demilitarized zones, DMZs, to better secure the Defense Department's unclassified network. These zones are areas between the public internet and DOD's network where certain low-risk applications can live. DMZs are part of a broader Freedom of Action and Cyberspace Initiative. Federal News Radio reporter Jason Miller is joining us now live with details on how DISA is changing defense network security. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So, DMZs, that sounds very military-like. How is this going to work?
I was going to say, it sounds very 1950s-ish.
Yeah, it really does.
Well, DMZs, actually, they've evolved over time. I mean, Tom probably runs into this for his federal security spotlight. They used to focus more on firewalls, but now actually it's a collection of services to secure inbound traffic, so internet traffic coming into your network, and traffic going out of your network. Dave Mihalchuk is DISA's chief technology officer. He says the DMZs control what is exposed to risk and what is not.
If we're under a cyber attack, we can potentially crank down or crank up, if you will, the level of security for most of our servers inside and yet leave certain critical e-commerce servers open to the internet, still with security controls, but we don't necessarily cut those off.
So having a DMZ lets DOD open certain addresses on certain servers while keeping others closed. And at one point in time, and over the last few years, specifically when we've seen the attacks by different viruses and different worms, they've either had to open it all up or close it all up. But now they're going to be able to open some up and keep others closed. The idea behind creating these DMZs more broadly actually came from a famous cyber attack on the internet.
It was Code Red and NIMDA were two big distributed denial of service attacks that took place back in 2001. And I can't remember which was first. It was either Code Red or NIMDA. Whichever was the first actually caused significant problems with DOD networks. And the commander of the JTF CNO, Computer Network Operations at the time, the only alternative he had was to order us to basically separate the NIPRNet from the internet for web traffic until systems inside the DOD could be patched.
So, Jason, how is DOD using these DMZs at the moment?
Well, as you heard Mr. Mihalchuk say, DOD is actually using them on its NIPRNet, or its unclassified network. Mihalchuk describes some of the early functions of the DMZ.
The initial capabilities were just things like whitelisting, blocking inbound traffic, or limiting it to a certain range of machines, and that's actually been up and running on the network for a couple of years now.
But over the next 2 years, DOD actually will migrate all the services to use the DMZ by redirecting traffic through this capability. It's not so much moving a box or changing servers out, but actually just saying, okay, we have a design which we've all agreed to, and now let's implement it so all traffic will go through, again, this virtual no man's land. Mihalchuk says the end goal is better information sharing and better overall security. He says by creating a DMZ, DOD can manage who gets access to what services based on roles and responsibilities, basically access control, and actually have a more complete picture of who's trying to attack their network.
So, Jason, how does this fit into their larger effort by DISA to secure DOD's networks?
Well, obviously, the DMZ is just one step that the DISA has taken, and what they're trying to do is replace a current one-size-fits-all approach. Richard Hale is DISA's Chief Information Assurance Executive. He said too often IT security was watered down or actually stood in the way of information sharing. This problem actually flowed all the way down to the combatant commanders throughout the services because one combatant commander, for instance, couldn't take a risk, say, let's say they're in theater in Afghanistan or Iraq, without others who are not in theater feeling the effects of that risk. So now with DMZs and some other steps, General Kevin Shilton, who's the commander of the U.S. Strategic Command, he has a goal, and that's to promote what he's calling freedom of action in cyberspace. Hale says DOD is trying to figure out how to best to do that, and the DMZ effort was one attempt to address it.
Ability to set policy by mission rather than assuming that you just have a one-size-fits-all perimeter defense policy should be able to give different DOD missions different policies and keep the risks from moving from one to another. For the bigger DOD information infrastructure, I'd say we're still not sure how this is going to go. In Afghanistan, Central Command chose to have essentially a separate network called the Afghan Mission Network on which they fight. That's one model that the COCOMs are using, or at least other COCOMs are contemplating for their missions. The trick there is to figure out a way to do that and still be able to take advantage of all these great enterprise services and standards and structures that we have in the big DOD networks.
So along with DMZs, DIS also is adding public key infrastructure to its CIPRNet or secret network. Now, PKI is basically a algorithm or a hash, or it's basically the computer on one side has a key, the server has another key, and those keys have to interlock to give you access. Now, Hale says public key infrastructure, which is, again, a common identity credential, will drive better accountability and better sharing. Now, to be clear, DoD's Common Access Card, or CAC cards, are used only for the unclassified network, so adding the PKI to the CIPRNet or secret network is actually taking a fairly big step. Now, DIS also better securing its own internal networks. Now, a lot of the work they do is DoD-wide, but with the emergence of U.S. Cyber Command, DIS officials found actually they needed their own network operations center. They had some gaps. Larry Huffman is the principal director of the Global Information Grid, or GIG, operations, and he said DIS recreated a command center to work closely with the Cyber Command, oversee its own network, and 13 subordinate operation centers.
The DCC's primary job is to be the synchronizer, the director of all of those op centers to develop the TTPs, techniques, and procedures to ensure that we are responsive, that the infrastructure is responsive. The additional role is to be the eyes and ears for the director and for the rest of the agency, the seniors in the agency. As we see issues out in the infrastructure, those are fed back to the senior directorates so we can quickly fix things and mitigate issues in the field. So we have set aside a force structure of about 220 personnel. That's a mix of civilian, military, and contractors. We think that mix is about right after a mission analysis, and we'll transition that up to Fort Meade in our new building here. On or about the 19th of February, we anticipate being in operation at Fort Meade.
So currently the operation center is about at 60% strength, but Huffman expects to reach full operational capability by next month when they move to Fort Meade. Now, DIS also has sent 40 people to work with the Cyber Command in the Joint Operations Center, which is actually linked back to the DIS Operations Center to really view cyber security, cyber events that are happening on the networks. Now, additionally, DIS has a field office at the Cyber Command as well that's looking at technologies to improve the command's capabilities. So that's, another joint effort across the services. Now, there's a bunch of other things that are happening across DIS, as always. Several new requests for proposals, contracts that are coming out in a few weeks for different IT services. We have another story up on federalnewsradio.com with more details about that. But cybersecurity, it's one of those things we're always going to, it's always a hot topic.